Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And we will be heading out tonight, as everybody knows, and always sad leaving the land, and every time we're out, we look forward to coming back. It's always more of a blessing when your family's with you than when you have to go by yourself, but hopefully we're going to bear fruit. I will say, you know, we've been out of the States now for 14 years. It's amazing how fast the time goes. And I can't even think of one time when we made a trip like this that it didn't bear some kind of fruit. And sometimes really great, great fruit. And even many of you we met on trips like this, you know, which is really, really great. What I want to talk about today, though, is a little more, I guess you could say, personal within us. You know, everybody that's here today with us, of course, except for the children, have been to the school, have been to the ambassador program. And we get so many letters and so many people that I talk to that wish they can come there. Some people get to, some people don't, some people hope to in the future. Even there's one letter I have recently where somebody was even saying about trying to bring their whole group there, you know, that they want to train. But I think it's a blessing, and I say this, if you remember, it's hard to imagine that it's going on now 2.5 years since we ended that first school program, and that one was 5.5 months. It was a long program, and you know, it seemed like a long time. At the same rate, it seemed like it went very quickly. And I said at the end of it, I said, one thing is, never take for granted being here in the land. Because when you're in the program, it's almost, it's like being on a pilgrimage here. You're here for a week or two, and it's like being in another world. You know, it's like you died and you went to heaven. That you're here in the Holy Land, you know, and especially when it's the first time here, and being with real believers. And one of the things I'm going to talk about in the States is the miracles that Yahweh has done and opened up here in archaeology. And just unbelievable things. And I mean, probably our congregation is within a handful of people in the world that have these things revealed to them. And maybe some people, you know, like the people that I'm in contact with now in Saudi Arabia, they know the real Mount Sinai, but they don't know Sodom and Gomorrah, and they certainly don't know the Temple Mount. And the guys that know the Temple Mount, they don't know where the real Mount Sinai is. So a lot of people have a piece of the puzzle, but to have all these pieces together, wow, what a miracle, what a blessing. And because it opens up the Bible, just like today as we're going over the Torah study. You know, we've been to these places, we've seen the cultic areas, you see the wine presses, you know, we've talked about what they do there. And understanding the agriculture and understanding why these people, because without rain, what happens? You have no crop, and then you have no grain and no fruit. So of course, in their you know, maybe warped mindset, but simplistic mindset, they start thinking that there's some kind of deity up here, a sun deity and a this deity and a grain deity and all the other stuff that they got into. But what a blessing it is to be able to really have the truth, you know, and to be here. And that's why I say, you know, once you leave that environment, once you leave the confines of every day, you're from, we're getting up and we're having class, and then you're having your lunch, then we're having class, and then you're having your dinner, and then we're talking, and it's going, and we're taking trips, and you're having teachers. It's very easy to fall back and not see the forest from the trees. You know, it's very easy, because whatever we focus on becomes most real to us. And that's why it's so important to daily in our life, to keep our focus, to daily in our life be reflecting on these things. And when we left the States almost 14 years ago now, it was a great opportunity to really get rid of every hobby, every sidestep, every whatever. Because in the long run, some of the, and not everything is bad, not everything is, you know, against Yahweh. But I did know one thing, with time being limited, not everything is for Yahweh either. And with time being limited and knowing my own human nature and knowing my worldly mind and my background, I realize what an opportunity this is to really start over, to be able to focus everything on Yahweh, to have every goal only on Yahweh. And what fun it is, you know. To me, it's so much more fun going out a day here and seeing all the archaeology than going to a water park, you know. And yet we've actually had people come here, brethren, that couldn't understand why I would be against going to water parks, you know. And my answer always was, well, you can go in that water park, but I can guarantee you the spirit of Yeshua isn't entering with you in the water park. It's just, there's no functional purpose to Yahweh in it, you know. It's just a day that is getting your mind away from Him, where maybe it'll take you a day or a week or a month or longer to get back toward Him. So I always say it to the people the first day of the school, you know, take advantage of every minute of it because it's going to go. It's not going to be here forever. And but as you all know, being there, it is something you do take with you. It's something you do take with you. And that's why having a group here, you know, that's why I feel like, I don't feel like I'm just going on a trip tonight or just me and my family's going on a trip tonight. I feel you're all coming with us because you're a part. Everybody here is a part of everything we're doing. You know, the people that we get in contact with, many people, they desire with all their heart to meet you, you know, as well as myself, to come here for a feast, to see what's going on. And I think it's got to be the desire of every true believer in their heart to want to be in Israel, you know, to want to be in Israel and to want to be part of that congregation. And I know there's delusions of grandeur. People have it with leadership. People have it with everything. You know, there's people sometimes that will write to me for years and then they meet you and they find out you're a human being. You know, yeah, of course, you know. I bleed if you cut me. Don't try to cut me, but I will bleed. And I'm human, the same way Moses was human, the same way that the apostles were human. And that's why one of the messages I love is 12 Ordinary Men, because I think sometimes we get this disconnect that somehow these Bible people were like half man, half deity or something, and that they didn't have human nature, and they didn't sin, and they didn't go through trials and different things, and yet they did. And that's why I say sometimes in our death, we can do more for Yahweh than in our life. You know, and I look at the Apostle Paul as a great example, because Paul's epistles probably did more to encourage people than anything else single-handedly written, of course, except for the Torah. In the whole New Testament, you know, there's 14 letters in every kind of situation. But yet at the same rate, when I read the New Testament, you know, this is my personal opinion, I would think Paul probably wasn't a person that people would have liked very much. I don't get the feeling that he was a person. We know at the end of his life he didn't have any friends. We know even the congregations he started and he was part of, he's writing and rebuking them. He's telling them, do I come with a sword or do I come with love? There's this animosity that's there. And of course, the words he writes are inspired by Yahweh, but he was also a human being, and I don't know much in personality-wise what a great personality he had. I mean, think about it. We know that you don't just all of a sudden, when you're converted, just change automatically. And what is he doing right before he's converted? You know, he's a self-righteous, pious Pharisee that's over here killing believers. So as much as I know his heart 100% changed, personality doesn't always change. You know, that we are who we are, and we have to work on that. But I do believe that to much is given, much is expected, and the more is given, the more will be required. And I do think there is a greater responsibility for being here in this room. You know, there's a greater responsibility for being here in Israel, and a great blessing that comes along with it, but also a responsibility that comes with it. And I'm trying to have a better support system with the people that have come to the school that aren't with us. I think we have a good support system. We see each other all the time. You know, we're always available, all of us, for anything that anybody would need. We could always do better, but I think we do pretty good. But for a lot of the people that leave and you don't have so much of a contact with, to have a better support system, because there is that responsibility once somebody is trained to a certain degree. You know, the same way that if you were on an airplane and there's 200 people on that airplane, someone has a heart attack, if there's one doctor on that plane, he has a moral and legal responsibility to help that person. He can't sit back and say, you know, I'm not going to say nothing. I don't want them to know I'm a doctor and let that person die there. And the same way us, with the things that are given to us, we have a moral and a legal responsibility before Yahweh to follow through with these things. You know, and again, life comes. We have to go through every day of our life. And, you know, even if you just look from, let's say, Sukkot. You know, we're here, we're about 7 months from the last Sukkot. And look at all the things that have happened in 7 months. You know, sicknesses of some of the brethren here. Different travelings, going away, loss of a baby in one case, and many trials we go through. And that's going to be part of life. We are going to go through things. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. We're going to have death. We're going to have sorrow. We're going to have sickness. And it's just part of life. It's part of life. But the one thing we have to do is, since we are held to a higher standard, and Yahweh has given us something that He expects us to bring to the nations, we have to make sure that we have the self-discipline in our life and also the patience and the self-control to not let those things inhibit us, that they're going to stop us and make us inefficient in the work of Yahweh. You know, because it's so easy. It's so easy when personal trials come. And you could look in the Bible, you know, look at King David running around down in the south for 13 years from Saul. And here it is, you know, I look at him and I always say, remember, David was a shepherd before he was a king, because he had to have that shepherd's heart for the job that Yahweh was going to give him. And yet, this beautiful, it says he was ruddy, this beautiful, thick, redhead little boy running around after his sheep that had so much courage that he would go out and kill a lion and a bear, you know, grab him by the thing and clobber him and cut his head off, whatever he's going to do. That this great young man of courage to even go against Goliath and say, how dare you defile the army of the living Elohim. It's like he probably woke up, you know, right after that and said, what happened? You know, what happened? I had this great life here. I loved my little sheep. I took care of them. And all of a sudden now, what did I do that I'm running away from King Saul for these 13 years? And then even when Yahweh put Saul in his hands, what does he say? No way. Me, Yahweh, you want to take his life, you do it, but I'm not going to touch Yahweh's anointed. And Saul repents of that and apologizes, and then what happens? He goes right back and the same thing happens again. Saul's taking a spear and trying to, you know, kill him with it. You look at Job, the same thing. You know, a righteous man. Before Yahweh, what is his crime? Except that he was a little too righteous. Satan comes to Yahweh and Satan can't stand Job because Job is a man of character. But Yahweh allows it to happen for Job's own good in the long run. We know it. 40 long chapters in the book telling us about it. But at the same rate, it couldn't have been much fun to be Job. You know, it really couldn't have been. And in the end of the day, like I say, sure, Job got the riches back and Job got more of this back. But you can't bring back dead ones. You can't bring back his children that were killed and the sorrow that he probably lived the rest of his life through it. And we do get that, you know. I would think it's a human emotion, and I think it's one that Yahweh would want people to have his spirit, to mourn people and never forget people that die. I don't think he wants us to just, I mean, you don't let it affect you to the point that you can't go on. But when you have real loved ones, you should mourn them. And the day will come that we won't anymore. You know, when the kingdom comes and every tear is wiped away, there will be no crying or no more mourning. But to think about people like that, I would think even losing a child, that it gives us more of an inspiration to make the kingdom, right? Because you want to be there and raise that child in the kingdom. But we don't want to lose our focus. You want to make sure that whatever thing we're going through, it's not something that's going to pull us away from Yahweh. It's something that should bring us closer to Him. You know, the same way David. It brought him to the kingship. And what did? It gave him a heart of mercy and compassion instead of a heart like Saul. He didn't want to be a king like Saul. He didn't want to be somebody that was just bringing down the sword. He wanted to have righteous judgment, but he wanted to do it in mercy and he wanted to do it in truth. If you look at Joseph, the same thing, another character that I love in the Bible, because here's another guy that, what was his crime? His crime was that he was an honest, caring son that his father loved more than the others, because we see his other brothers really had problems. You know, I mean, each of them had problems within themselves, and Joseph seemed to be right on the money. He seemed to be an honorable person. He had self-control. And where does it get him? 13 years in prison, sold into slavery. And like I said, the end of the story is great. You know, Joseph is alive and the father comes down, but does it bring back that 23 years that he was away from his father? Does it bring back the 23 years that he's away from his family? Does it bring back not being able to be raised up with his younger brother, who was his full brother, you know, from their original mother, from Rachel? And it doesn't. It doesn't. But yet at the same rate, Joseph wasn't looking at that. What does he say? Don't blame yourself, because all of this has a purpose to it. There's a greater purpose to it. And Yahweh brought me down here to retain life. And That's really the way we need to be looking at it. We need to be looking at it and preparing ourselves. When we came to the school, we were preparing ourselves individually for ministry. But being part of this congregation, we should all be preparing ourselves for fruit-bearing to the nations. You know, that this is where Yahweh's word, he says, the law goes forth from Zion, the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And that by being here in the land, what a great responsibility. It's a great honor and a great pleasure, but what a great responsibility we have. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, we see it says, "Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, that you all say the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment." And we focus a lot at the school and even within the congregation on judicial order, because without that, you could never have the scripture. It would be impossible. And like I always say, judicial order is voluntary and reciprocal, but it only is a good thing. You know, we've had over the last couple of years, in particular the last 6 months to a year, in a lot of our congregations internationally, where there's been a rolling over and a weeding out, you could say, and a building up. And it's been a really good thing. Amazing at Passover time, from every place in the world that you can imagine, including the United States. The messages I got back was everybody had the best Passover they've ever had. And you can't have that unless you're fulfilling Corinthians 1:10 here. You know, that if there's divisions and we're not united and we don't have the same mind and we don't have the same judgment, then what are you going to have? You're ultimately going to have chaos. You're going to have false doctrine. You're going to have all the things that the Apostle Paul went through a lot in his letters. So, again, it's a responsibility that we surrender to each other, you know, in the spirit of Yahweh because of this. But also, it's something that we bring to others. It's something that others, you know, many people I've met as we travel will say, "Wow, that teaching you have on judicial order was the most important thing that ever happened in my life." Help them in their family, help them in their marriages, help them with their kids, help them with everything. Because we see in the world we're living in the Laodicean era, without that, we have big problems. Ephesians 5:21 talks about submitting each one to another. You know, it's one thing we do here. And yes, we do have leadership. And the leadership is ordained by Yahweh for proper doctrine and for the building of the body of Messiah and the unity of the faith. But at the same rate, you know, there's more than just leadership in a congregation. There's pillars. Each of us are pillars. Each of us has spiritual gifts. And each of us have a role to play within that. If we go to 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 18. Maybe I'll even start a little earlier. I'll start in verse 11. "But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing separately to each as he wills. Even as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Messiah. For also we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Aramaeans, whether slaves or free, even all were given to drink into one Spirit. For also the body is not one member, but many." And this is the problem in organized religion, even in Sabbath-keeping groups. It's a one-man band, you know. And you got the guy up there on the stage, and he's playing his trombone and pressing on the thing and playing the guitar, you know, and singing on the harmonica on the side. And it's a one-man band. And when you talk to the people in the audience, and I get to go to a lot of these places, and I talk to these people, it's like they're yearning. They're yearning because they're seeing that they have these gifts that are not being used, they're not being utilized, and the opposite, they're being stunted. And I was saying to some of the men recently that that's one of the things that makes us different at feast time. That you show me anywhere in the world, I was told to most places I go to, any conference, there is never an open mic at a conference. It's never an opportunity where the person in the audience even can ask a question. You know, never mind. And if there are questions and answers, how do they do it? They do it very slick. You write it on a piece of paper, you hand it to an usher, and then they look, and if they don't want to answer that question, they don't do it. Anywhere I've ever went in the world, whether it was me in a meeting with 100 people I didn't know, or it was a congregation setting it up, I will always go up there and answer any question anybody has. I don't know what the questions are ahead of time, so I might be put on the spot. I might not know the answer, but so what? I'm given that opportunity that I'll answer any question somebody would have. And that's why at the feast, people see when they come there that it's not something they're just coming to. It's something they're participating in. We have testimonies. We have, how do you get to know people? You get to know people by hearing their testimony, by hearing what they have to say, by seeing how they act. So there's no one-man band in Yahweh's congregation. Each of us are living pillars in that congregation. And we know it here, that mostly everybody here is being involved in something and doing things. And the ladies are doing things. The men are doing things. Everybody's doing things. And hopefully, when I get back, we can even talk about more. We can brainstorm more how we can be more involved in some of the things and helping to bring the word more and see how that works. But we see, like it says, for also the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, on account of this, is it not part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, on account of this, is it not part of the body? If all the body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all the hearing, where would be the smelling? You know, you could just picture this face with all these eyes and no ears, all these ears and no eyes, you know. And of course, that's why there's five senses, you know. And we know this from the neural associative conditioning, that each sense you have is a different neural association. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, that smells like my grandmother's cookies, you know, when I was a little child, compared to seeing something, wow. You know, that pizza looks beautiful, you know, compared to tasting. And like I said, there's an appreciation for food that you get and smell sometimes that is as good as the tasting of it. You know, when I was a child, just walking in my grandmother's house and just smelling that food, it would just give you this peace, you know. And we see it. So again, each of us, everybody's not an eye, everybody's not an ear, everybody's not a mouth. If all the body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all hearing, where would be the smelling? But now Elohim set the members, each of them, in the body as it pleased him. But if all were one member, where would be the body? But now indeed, many are the members, but one body. And the eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head to the foot, I have no need of you. But much rather, the members of the body, seeming to be weaker, are more necessary. And I say, it takes a lot of character to be that person in the wheelchair that everybody has to help. Because I know, I don't think I'm strong enough to be that person. You have to be pretty strong to be handicapped. You know, and I mean mentally. That you go through life understanding how to go without seeing or how to get around without legs or whatever it is. And sometimes we think it's the weaker person, but a lot of times it's the stronger person. But it's a way that Yahweh uses sometimes to unite everybody for a common cause. Because when you have somebody where there's a need, all of us have to sacrifice our own personal and sometimes selfish ambitions for the need of the person that's there. And of those of the body we think to be less honorable, to these we put more abundant honor around them. And our uncomely members we dress with greater care. But our uncomely parts have no need for attention. But Elohim tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the members having need, that there be not division in the body, but that the members might have the same care for one another. And we know this. Whenever there is division, it's coming from a substantial problem to begin with that we're starting off on the wrong premise. Somehow, we have a confliction of goals or a confliction of motives because, like Paul says, you know, in Corinthians 11, I believe there are divisions among you and I partly believe it, you know, but I'm not going to commend you for this because there shouldn't be. When we all have that same mindset and we're sacrificing our own personal goals and ambitions for Yahweh, then there's not division because Yahweh's not divided. Because we're all focusing toward the one goal and sacrificing of ourselves, whatever that is, toward that goal. If one member is in pain, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And you are the body of Messiah and members in your respective places. So here it is. Yahweh has a worldwide work. And you have people all over the world, and each of us are in our place. So us over here in Israel and Jerusalem, we're not going to have the same work or the same, you know, things going for us as somebody may have that's in Africa or in America or somewhere else. But each of us all have that same goal, that same vision of bearing fruit for the kingdom. But in our retrospective places, we're doing what is our job and our responsibility toward that. You know, that's why I say the calendar could be real simple. If Yahweh clearly said, when you enter the land, you do these things, and the holy days were only meant to be kept from Israel, then the calendar's got to come from Israel, you know? And if people would just surrender to that fact and see, why would Yahweh place us here after 2,000 years? Why would he bring us here? Why would he show us all these things he had, bring all the experts, understand everything, not only on the calendar itself, but the agriculture and the equinox and all these things? Why would he do all those things unless it was something he's trying to show us? And it's not the job of the people in the Philippines. It's not their job to calculate the biblical calendar from Manila. It's not the job of somebody in Arizona or you know, Timbuktu or wherever else they might be from. That's the job over here. That's the job that Yahweh gave because the Torah goes forth from Zion. And that's the point. And that's why there's 1,000 different ways of calculating it, because people don't understand judicial order. But there's things some of these people have that we don't have. So we surrender to them in these things, and we listen, and we try to learn. And you come to a unity of the faith, you know. And that unity of the faith is for what? It's for bearing fruit. It's for bearing fruit for Yahweh's kingdom. That's what the main goal is, John 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit he takes away, and each one bearing fruit he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. And that's why we go through our trials. We don't want them to be overcome us, but we want to overcome them so that we can overcome the worldly things we have and be better servants for his kingdom. You are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. And right there, why are all these people that are not part of any congregation? They're all separately, out on their own. They don't want to belong to a congregation. They don't want to belong to a group of people. They want to just be separate. Why? Why is that? Because they have selfish ambitions and selfish motives. But look what he says here. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. And I say this, when Church of God first broke up, back in the mid-1990s, you know, it was, Yahweh sent me out to the wilderness, and it was survival mode. I would have never thought that in a million years, that the congregation that mothered me, that taught me all these things, was just going to crumble overnight. So the first thing I had to do is take cover, you know. I had to survive. But from day one, I knew I also have to get back to the body. You know, it wasn't going to be Don Esposito Ministries. That's not what it's about. It's about a collective effort of Yahweh's people worldwide in him blessing that effort. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me or you are not able to do anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up, and they gather and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, whatever you desire you will ask and it will happen to you. And this my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit and you will be disciples. So this is what our goal is. And what is that bearing fruit? Like we said in the book of Genesis, is it about the tomato garden in the back? Is it about the cabbage that the chickens are eating away over there? Is it about the mangoes on the back tree? Of course not. He's using these analogies about bearing fruit. It's about human souls. It's about human life. Because unfortunately, we know that Yahweh does give us free choice. He gives us free will to make those free choices. He gives us everything we need. He puts before us life and death. He pleads with us to choose life, but we have to make that choice. So Yahweh gives us these things to make those choices, but then you have to go out and do it. And we know that in the end time, many people are not going to make the choice through life, and many people will lose salvation. And we know that every time, that's why, you know, I was saying, wow, I'm amazed that every time there's a baptism, that everybody in the congregation that can tries to come there. And I think it's great. Why? Because it's exciting. Because there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous. And this isn't a game. This isn't something that we're joining a club. This isn't a multi-level marketing. This is not Amway. This is about saving lives from death to life. And there's nothing that gets more real than this. You know, this is about the highest form of reality that it gets to. And Yahweh gives us that opportunity. And I always ask this at the Bible school when we're getting into bearing fruit. And I'll ask the question, you know, how many people can you think of in your life that you brought to Messiah? On a personal level. You know, how many people can you think of that you shared the truth with that came to life? And even if there's one, wow, if there's your whole life, there's one person, it's worth it. Because, you know, I fry tooth for tooth, life for life. And maybe that one person, remember, he who brings a sinner away from his ways, you cover a multitude of sins. You know, and if you could save one life, that may be your life in the judgment day. You know, because to Yahweh, every life is important. Every single life on this planet is important. And although, like I said, we can't save anyone but ourselves because we only have free will over ourselves, we can encourage people that are coming to truth. And we can lead them to the truth. And if their mind is open, we can help them. And Yahweh gives us that opportunity. And that's why there's no greater opportunity than what we have here. And over the last year, and particularly the last 6 months, I mean, Yahweh is really, he's laid a foundation, I believe, for this work for many years. And he's blessed this work tremendously, you know. I can't imagine in my wildest dreams when we left America in 1999 that 14 years later we would ever be here doing this, that he would open up doors like he has here, you know, through the government, even up to the Prime Minister's office and the Knesset and all these other doors that he's opening. But these are all things to give us credibility. There's all things to give us a greater, not just responsibility, but a greater avenue to get to the nations. You know, because not everybody can do that. I think I had the same zeal and desire 14 years ago as I had today, but I didn't have the same avenues. And that comes from Yahweh. Yahweh's got to be the one to open doors, and Yahweh's got to be the one to give that. You know, when Paul was told, you're going to go before kings and you're going to go before governors, you know, only Yahweh can give that, you know, to give that testimony to do it. But I do believe we're at a point now of, you know, you could call breakout that. We're at a point where Yahweh is blessing us to a point to the nations where really fruit is being born. And when I ask that question of you, how many people have you ever brought to salvation? And maybe there's some here that you can't think of even one. But I can tell you, through the work that you're part of here, we're bringing many people to salvation. And you're as much a part of the work as I am. You know, that's what we just read here. The fact that I might be the one that he's speaking through, I always say that. He spoke through the mouth of a jackass. It doesn't make the difference. It doesn't make me more important because Yahweh's speaking through me. Because each of us are pillars in that temple, and each of us are working for there. So I wanted to just read a few letters here. This is just the mail that we've gotten just in the last week or so. I mean, our mail is getting to the point where I'm not sure what I'm going to have to do. I got to get some sleep in the nights. But it's getting a little overwhelming, you know. We're getting hundreds. And a lot of times, it's requests for Bibles or whatnot. But in the last 6 months, we're really starting to get many, many requests of people wanting to join the congregation, people wanting baptism, people that their lives are being changed. And it's being changed starting right here, starting in this room by each of us that are here. So I wanted to just read some of these because you're a part of this, of what's happening. It says, Shalom, he says, I'm putting an offering and I would like the money to be used toward the publishing of the biblical calendar book that Elder Esposito recently sent out in PDF format. The book is amazing and it explains it all very well. I printed it out and sent a copy to Elder George Gardner of Yahweh's Assembly in Messiah. I met him at the conference last year, known him for many years actually from Pennsylvania, because he and I were discussing the way to determine the beginning of the year, the new moon. They teach to go by the sighted moon, so I wanted to try to open his eyes. Blessings to you and all. We pray that the Father Yahweh will continue to bless you and the work that is being done for his kingdom. So again, you know, you don't know that one little book now, how many people will that help with the calendar and help with so many things? This one says, Dear member, I saw your ad for this Hebraic Roots Bible. I would like to receive one, but I'm not able to give a donation. My daughter and I are having real hard times, so I pray that the good Lord puts it in your heart to send me one. I thank you for your time and consideration this matter. And we get a lot of people like this. And again, we do ask for a donation so that if somebody can afford it, you're paying for a Bible so somebody like him can get it. Because if nobody was paying for it, we wouldn't have a Bible. But if someone doesn't have money, we send the Bible. We're not selling the Bible. We like I said, we giving freely, you receive freely, you give, and that's the way we have it. This one says, Shalom, my friends. I recently returned from my weekly trip to my public library where I am able to use the internet on one of their computers. I write this letter to thank you so very much for your website and your teachings, for it is refreshing to hear someone preach the truth. In this day of watered-down scripture and compromised teachings, it is such a chore to wade through all the less-than-accurate teachings. Well, that's easy. Just go to one website. I believe the true first-century beliefs are somewhere in the middle of Christianity and Judaism, and I commend you for what your congregation is teaching. My name is so-and-so, and I've been studying and listening to various teachings from the Hebraic Roots Movement. I attend Sabbath services at a certain church, which is a breakaway of the Church of God. As you can well imagine, it's time for me to seek out a more scripturally based church home for my spiritual food. I was hoping that you could send me a copy of The Chosen People and The Great Falling Away. I was wondering is if there any chance of receiving a used Hebraic Roots Bible. I would really love to have one, but my present Bible is falling apart and the pages is missing. It's an old King James. My situation is that I am on government disability due to herniated discs in my back, arthritis in both knees, as well as depression issues. My monthly income is just under $1,200 and my rent is $900 plus utilities. I have very little left to eat and must use food banks every month. I simply cannot afford to support your ministry, but Yahweh knows I would if I could. I have always wanted a Hebraic Roots or Restored Names version, but simply cannot afford it. I am hoping that you can furnish a used one for me, but I will understand if you cannot help. At least I can access your teachings every week. Pastor Esposito, you are a gifted teacher, speaker. Praise Yah. Keep up the good work. So we get a lot of messages like that. And like I said, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for the brethren who do faithfully tithe, and that's the reason why people like this can get a Bible, they can get a book, that it's not about money. It's not about, you know, putting Yahweh's word in a cart and charging $50 for a little CD or DVD that costs 3 cents to make. It's not about that. It's about changing the lives of these people and literally bringing them from death to life. Because like I said, many of these people could have possibly lose their salvation in the way they were going. And praise Yahweh that he's opening up these doors. This one says, my name is so-and-so, an inmate of a certain correctional institution who is seeking your help in my study to become a Messianic Jew. I have given much thought and prayer over this and believe Yahweh has shown me the way I am to go. I was told by my Jewish friend that you can help me in my studies. I would like to receive a sacred name Bible and anything else you can offer me for study. I am an indigent prisoner and cannot afford to pay for anything. Please know that I am serious about my conversion, that I promise to study and live a way that brings glory and honor to Yahweh. I spend a lot of my time studying the Bible and praying. I hope you will help me. So again, we get a lot of, every week at least a few from prison. We have whole congregations that are there, and praise Yahweh for that. This one says, Dear elders at COYHWH, I am very happy to write you in search of an elder that can come to my location so that I may be baptized in the name of Yeshua Messiah. I was until about 3 weeks ago a practicing Christian, yet I always felt there was something missing. It bothered me in church services that the doctrine being taught tended to vary from what I read in Scripture, and it seems like most churches in America teach what I've heard you reference as replacement theology. I was also very bothered by the concept of cardinal Christianity and lawlessness in modern churches. Then, by what I felt was the hand of our Elohim guiding me, I stumbled upon the ad for the new translation on your site. I was very much delighted to find all the truths on your webpage and lessons, realizing at once that America really is bankrupt when it comes to faith in Yahweh, the only true Elohim. I would be very happy to speak with an elder and am urgently waiting to join the family of Yahweh. P.S. I would very much appreciate if someone can contact me, that, you know, he could set that up. This one says, to whom it may concern, hello, my name is so-and-so. I am a pastor of a deaf church in Wausau, Wisconsin. I was referred to this website where I find your messages very interesting. I came to a section where you offer free downloads on 3 different books, and there was an option where I could write to get hard copies. I am definitely interested in receiving these books. If you would please send it to me, I would be greatly appreciated, and I will use them for the teachings at my congregation. Please also pass on to those who made this possible financially my gratitude and respect for what they're doing for Elohim's kingdom. And here's a whole church of deaf people, you know, that's forgetting the truth. This one says, "Dear Sir, Madam, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a student studying in Singapore. I came across your Congregation of Yahweh website yesterday and was thrilled to read about the translated Hebrew Roots Bible. I would like to request 3 copies if possible, as I would like to give copies to 2 other people. If not, then just 1 or 2 copies is fine. Thank you so much, and Yeshua bless you all richly. I would like to donate, but I can't now, but they hope to maybe later." And she's put an address in here. This one says, "Dear COYHWH, hello. I write these few words hoping that Yahweh will somehow, at COYHWH can help me locate a Sabbath fellowship. I'm a resident in New York, and I'm willing to travel to New Jersey or Connecticut to be able to fellowship with other brethren. If someone could provide me with a contact for a congregation in the area, it would be greatly appreciated." So we're getting many, many of those letters. "To whom it may concern, I can't possibly thank you enough for your great work. I found you online and have enjoyed your lessons beyond measure. I'm a new student to the Bible, as I have spent my entire life in organized religion, and the Bible was never a part of that study. I've had a great love for the Bible for the past few years, but find many different opinions regarding so many subjects. I appreciate your documentations in support of your views. Would you please send me a copy of the New Hebraic Roots Bible as advertised on your webpage? I would also be very interested in your gift copies of," and he put some sermons, "Is Yeshua Elohim? Do you know your Savior? Mind of Messiah? What is real change? Blood covenant. I have just finished these lessons and would appreciate any other helps you may have as I read all of your lessons on the webpage. Again, thank you so much for the excellent work." "Dear Congregation of Yahweh, thank you so much for the Hebraic Roots Bible and the copies of the Great Falling Away. My sisters have told me they would very much like a Hebraic Roots Bible. If at all possible, could you send me 2 more Hebraic Roots Bible and 2 more copies of the Great Falling Away? Don, I want to thank you so much for your service to the ministry, for your work in Yeshua. Thank you so much for your time, your research, your love of truth. I thank Yahweh for you. I pray all the brethren who love the truth. Praise be to Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah." "Dear brothers in Yeshua, my name is so-and-so. I am married and we have 1 10-year-old boy. We live in Pennsylvania and we believe we are Jews and believe in Yeshua Messiah. I'm writing you after visiting your website searching for a Hebrew immersion program, and we are interested to know if you have a program that will accommodate both adults and children to learn Hebrew and the Hebrew culture in Israel. We're looking for programs that will take up to 6 months or less. If you do not offer such a program, I'd like to know if you could provide us with information where we could find that." Nice little card here. It says, "Hello, my name is Alma, and all my life I have been deceived. That was until I came across an old friend, Alex. He found me on Facebook. I know him since I was like 7 years old. I'm now 34. His mom and I, my mom, were real good friends until my mom passed away at age 37 to breast cancer. Though my teenage years, I had a big crush on Alex. Alex was always a big trouble because he ran the streets. We moved apart 18 years later. He messaged me on Facebook and said he met Yahweh in prison through your ministry. I never heard of such a name. I thought he was crazy. Well, after many conversations and studying, researching, one day at work, I broke down on my knees and had a conviction in my heart and realized I was also crazy. Crazy about the fact that now I am set free from religion and recognize Yahweh as our Heavenly Father and His Son Yeshua as our one and only Savior. Alex and I are now married and plan to continue to grow in the truth so that we may tell the world." A nice little story there. This is one of those, kind of saying on the old website. This one says, "Dear Sir, please find enclosed a money order for $35 to help cover the cost of the Hebraic Roots Bible. I am unemployed and funds are very tight for us. I would really appreciate 2 copies, 1 for myself and 1 for my wife. If the funds are insufficient, then 1 copy will have to do. I would also please to accept your offer of the free book of The Great Falling Away, as well as The Chosen People. Your help in this regard is much appreciated, as we are relatively young in discovering the Sabbath truth and the proper names of our Heavenly Father and our Messiah. A Bible translation from the Hebrew and Aramaic text is much more desirable than from the corrupted Latin and Greek translations. So we really see where the Bible is making a major impact on people. This one says, I have been blessed to have found your congregation. Enclosed is my check for a Hebraic Roots Bible. I have asked many people over the years about the very subject of Yeshua's teachings. He was a rabbi, attended, taught within Judaism. The Christian church has fallen into the warped teachings of Elohim. I am greatly anticipating a true Bible using our Father's and Savior's true name. Your website has blessed my home. May Yahweh continue to work in the minds of man to open our eyes and minds of Yeshua's will. Dear congregation of Yahweh, I have the Hebraic Roots Bible downloaded on my computer. I have lost all other information on how to purchase a true copy. I have found it to be enlightening and resourceful in its true meaning, the word of Elohim. I am of the old Brethren Church, born and raised. There are not many of us left. Most of us are in our 50s plus now. The Wesleyans have taken about half our church over. When I first came upon the Bible in an email advertisement a year ago, all this information was available. I have since lost it. I'm hoping you could be of assistance. Dear Don, Shalom to everyone at the congregation of Yahweh. I pray that all is well and you are being blessed by a Heavenly Father Yahweh through His Son Yeshua. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the well-being of all those doing and supporting the work of Yahweh. May He bless you for the work you're doing. May Yahweh bless and keep you and cause His face to shine and be gracious on you. May Yahweh lift up His countenance and give you shalom. Dear brethren, greetings to the one and true church in New Jersey. It has been a while since we last communicated. However, we do keep up with the news on your website. We would like to thank Yahweh and His Son's name, Yeshua, for the great work you, your family, and His congregation are doing in His holy name. We would like to again thank you for the gift of writing the wonderful books we have received to help us understand more of the studying of the Scriptures. The literature we have received in the past has been distributed to those who are seeking the truth as we have. Glory is to Yahweh. If at all possible, we would like to receive more books of The Great Falling Away. These books are so helpful for all of us that we want the truth in the Scriptures is. We want to thank you again. We hope and pray that Yahweh will continue to bless you all. We are requesting 40 more books. We are enclosing a donation that will help to cover the cost and delivery. We have added our email address if you would like to respond. This one says, your website was just sent to me from a friend. I was very excited to receive the link. I am looking forward to spending time checking out the many teachings. I also plan to order 3 of the Bibles next month when we have the funds. We have been working to purchase Hebrew Roots Bible for myself, husband, and daughter, so we may do our family studies from all the same translation. In the meantime, would you please send your free books, The Great Falling Away, The Chosen People, Who is the Messiah of Israel. Thank you for your ministry. May Yahweh continue to bless you. This one says, hello Don, I've been reading The Great Falling Away using the PDF file online, but find it difficult being tied to my desktop computer. Could you kindly send me a hard copy of the book and also The Chosen People? Also, I'd be interested in hearing your views on what the Christian church calls the rapture. I've checked through your online list of topics and sermons, but don't see the subject being addressed, lesson 12 in the correspondence course. It may be that it's covered in one of your books. It's my understanding the most who call themselves Hebrew Roots don't believe in the catching away or assemblies of believers. Having been associated with the Pentecostal churches for so many years has left me confused in this matter. Any light that you may be able to shed on the topic would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance. So it just says, I'm looking for fellowship in my area. Do you have any information? Dear congregation of Yahweh, my husband and I have been studying our Hebraic Roots Bible for about 3 years now. We must say our eyes have certainly been open. We ordered your Bible and love the translation, including the good notes. We appreciate all the time you must have gone into such a noble endeavor. We have also benefited greatly from the material on the website. We were wondering, is there a congregation in this part of Texas, or if there is someone nearby that we could call and ask for questions? Any help would be appreciated. This one just asking for the books, a hard copy of the books, and also the Bible. This says, Dear Congregation of Yahweh, my name is so-and-so. I've had a background in healthcare and have spent the majority of my life in some form of healthcare. For about 10 years, I worked in respiratory therapy and then later went back to school to become a registered nurse. My specialty is this, and I hope that these skills could be used in Israel at some point in the not-so-distant future. I would like to get some information on the Bible school and the volunteer program. My residence is so-and-so. Are there any branches of COYJ that might be near? My mother and myself would like to have believers to fellowship with, but not having found any as of yet. We are also close to this area. Mr. Esposito and I have similar backgrounds, both coming from Church of God. It would be great to have any and all information that might be he might be able to spare. We would also like to learn about being baptized in the name. And then he's asking again from the books. Another inmate letter. Dear Congregation of Yahweh, my name is so-and-so, and currently I am physically locked up in this certain institution. I'm writing you in regards for a few books you have that I would love to have for the increasing of my knowledge. These books were recommended by another inmate here who was a serious seeker of truth as well. Until we talked, I was unaware that I was basically speaking his name improperly, such as calling him just God or Jesus. Family, I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar, but when the Spirit brings me truth, I grab it, I hold it, I plant it in my soul. Then he's asking for the Bible and other books. So I need so that I myself can not only tell others about the truth, but to be able to prove what I'm telling them. I want to be a part of helping free people, especially my family, from the lies we've been told throughout time. As I said in my opening, I'm incarcerated. I have no income except for $13.50 I get a month. I pray you would send me copies of the books so I can truly begin to know the truth. Also, if you choose to send them, you must make sure you send an invoice along with them or the institution will trash them. Satan, of course, would love that. If you have a newsletter, I would appreciate that. Again, I do appreciate the value of the books, but I can wholeheartedly promise you they will not go to waste. I thank you for taking the time to consider. May Yahweh continue to bless your ministry. This is one coming from Italy, asking, getting a lot of international mail. Asking for the Hebrew Roots Bible. Any other literature, you can send them. It says, Dear Don, the wife and I have both been baptized before. We desire to be baptized into the congregation of Yahweh. I do not remember if our info is up to date. They live in Texas. May Yahweh and Yeshua bless you. Some of these people were hoping maybe we'd meet next week. They're supposed to come to the meeting. Here's another one. Dear Brother Esposito, thank you for the wonderful sermon a few weeks back. It was a message we all needed to hear and feel. I am wondering if you would send me the location of any congregations of Yahweh in Southeast Texas. I would like to be part of a community of covenant believers. I realize it will have to travel in order to get to them, but would like to touch the community personally. To give you an idea where I am, I live in this area away from Dallas. I am 2.5-hour drive from Houston, so I'm hoping there is some nearer to me. Just for an idea of what cities are around me. If we can't find anything closer, at least there once a month, I have your sermons online until we can no longer have contact with you. What a dark day that will be for us in the world. Your Israeli update today was certainly mind-opening to what is going on all around the world. It certainly appears we're entering the time of sorrows. May Yahweh continually bless you in the coming months and years. In Yeshua's name we pray. Dear Congregation of Yahweh, we have been so blessed by your ministry, totally overwhelmed. Please send us 2 Bibles and the books you've offered. Do you have any CDs or DVDs you could send us? We're so hungry for truth, and we want to share with everybody we can. Dear Congregation of Yahweh, I am a follower of the Master Yeshua HaMashiach and am currently holding biblical studies at my home. I'm also hoping to soon establish a desperately needed Messianic congregation in Florida. There is nothing here for us Messianic believers in Messiah, and we're eager to learn so much. Once we get established and we can grow and become stronger and more stable here, I'm hoping that we can perhaps eventually be able to send a group to Israel for further studies at your Hayahad and your Ambassador for Israel program. I was visiting your website, as I always do, and see your organization states it will send a free copy of the following books to those who write for them. I'm requesting a copy. Thank you for your terrific website and all the great work you're doing in His name. Your sister in Yeshua Messiah. Greetings in Yeshua's name. I am writing as a new Sabbath keeper, but not in covenant yet. I live in Nebraska and don't know where the closest congregation is located. I've been very moved by Don's messages that I watch every Sabbath day. I would like to distribute some of the pamphlets, specifically the name of the Savior and the name of the Creator, to various organizations that deal with the homeless and the needy, including the Salvation Army. Would it be permissible to put a copy of the page of the Hebraic Roots Bible on which Isaiah 65:11 appears in the pamphlet? I feel it might be helpful for people to actually see the scripture mentioned in the pamphlet. I know the first time I read it, it blew me away. I had never heard that God was a Babylonian deity. I always thought it was a title for Yahweh. I have a hard copy of the Hebraic Roots Bible that I requested in September of 2012. It is my favorite version and most used. I have a PDF copy, but haven't had the paper or ink to print out a copy. I find it much easier to read a hard copy than a digital at my age. My eyes get tired reading on a monitor. I was looking at the pages from Isaiah and was searching page by page when I discovered the PDF. It says it's a little different because we updated it. I have so many temptations and burdens to overcome. Please pray for me. Sometimes I feel as if Satan is strangling me spiritually. I can't seem to let go of some addictions. One more question. Do you have the music that is in some of the messages, videos, on a CD or tape? I love to hear the music. It really means a lot to me. I have downloaded some of the children's songs, but I really enjoy the songs that are sung at the beginning and sometimes end of the messages at the feast. Also, is there a copy of the words available? Okay, make that 2 more questions. Thank you, and Yeshua bless your ministry. So we get a lot of people asking for the music because there's not a lot of Yahweh music out there. This is from a fellow that we had met last year and baptized. Dear Don, hello. Thank you for sending me the letter on the great work that is being done from the brethren in Africa, especially the pastors that repented before everyone. It helped us out here to hear that there are holy people that we should emulate and who have not been affected by Babylon. Thank you for thinking of me and taking the time to write, and I'm sorry for taking so long to write back. Thank you for your prayers. They're needed. For those of us without fellowship, it is such a blessing to be able to hear your messages and have access to all the material to keep us on the narrow path. I have heard you say that some people write that your messages are too harsh for them. But please never stop preaching repentance and judicial order. I cannot tell you how many times I've listened to a message or read an article in the Remnant's Walk that break me down inside and force me to change. I thank Yahweh for raising up the congregation for us. One thing I've learned is that I need to be immersed in Yahweh's Word daily, reading my Bible or listening to a message, something. Once I get away from it, even one day, chaos steps in and it can take weeks to get back any peace. The new Bible translation is fantastic. The notes throughout help bring depth and clarity to a lot of the passages so much that with the topical concordance, this is going to be a great witnessing tool. The website is awesome also. I look forward to seeing you this Sukkot. You should have already received the information. For me, it will be a blessing to be able to spend 2 weeks with like-minded brethren and worship together. I never thought something like this would be happening to me. It will be the longest time I have spent with other brethren in my life. The only other time was when we met in Pennsylvania for one day. Did I hear you mention that you were having a rededication immersion in the land? Will you be doing that this year? I would like to close by telling you how much of a blessing Elder Paige King has been to me. There were many times I would call him feeling sorry for myself and wanting a pity party, but he always keeps me on track with firm but gentle words. They get me through the tough days. He has helped my relationship with my family to be more of a man and not an Ahab. Flexible without compromise, as you say. I have so much more I could say, but I know you're very busy and I've taken a lot of your time. I look forward to speaking with you soon. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that have no fellowship. So it makes us appreciate what we have here. This one says, Dear Pastor Don, I have been a Christian for over 50 years and have only recently heard about Yeshua. What is this movement all about? I prayed about it, recently heard a pastor over the internet speak. I have read that you are giving away a book called The Great Falling Away. I would like to receive this book. I have been all those years been faithfully following Christ. Have I been wrong? My sister gave me a copy of the Hebraic Roots Bible for my birthday. Only the truth. Greetings. Thank you so much for the wonderful work that you're carrying out. I am requesting the book, The Great Falling Away, and other book materials you can send me. I'm incarcerated, but I will try to get my family to donate. My friend so-and-so has helped me greatly with gaining the knowledge of the truth of Yahweh and has given me a copy that was badly torn up and ripping apart with all the pages falling out. We have a small messianic study here in the D-Yard prison, and the men here thirst for the truth and wisdom continuously. We meet every day to discuss the scriptures and reference materials such as yours. Again, anything you will be able to send will be deeply appreciated and greatly utilized daily for references and for teachings. To whom it may concern, my name is so-and-so and I am currently an inmate in a federal prison. I'm writing this letter because I'm seeking a blessing from your group. It is my understanding that you print and distribute Don Esposito's Hebraic Root Bible. I also understand that you ask for a $35 donation to cover the cost of printing and mail the Bible. I'm writing this letter to formally request that you please send me a copy of the Bible for my studies. I unfortunately cannot send you the $35 donation at this time. I do, however, promise that when I am released from this facility in a little over 8 months and I have a chance to get things together, I will promptly send the money, if not more. It would be a great blessing and extremely appreciated if I can get a copy of the Bible to help me in my studies. I'm working to seek the truth in our Creator's Word, and using traditional Bibles with mistranslations makes my study very difficult. If you can find it in your heart to send me a copy, please send it. Brothers and fellow believers, I received two Hebraic Roots Bible yesterday, and they are everything I've hoped they'd be. Thank you, they're beautiful. As I mentioned before, I would like very much to assist in the COYJ End Time work, and to that end, please find my check and tithe offering. I was going to ask that it be applied to feed our brethren in Uganda or Kenya, but I realize I have no knowledge of your inner needs, so I will trust that you and or Don Esposito will use the offering in the best way to further Yahweh's kingdom. It's a great honor to serve Yahweh through assisting you in this way. I request that you keep in touch with me, since I can find no covenant believers anywhere near me. I want to find true brothers to study and fellowship with, but as far as I seem to be truly in the wilderness, looking toward the kingdom, yours in Yeshua. Greetings to our brethren at the Congregation of Yahweh. We are very delighted in the works we have been seeing online and love the work our Father is doing through your ministry. We have just received our copy of the Hebraic Roots Bible today, and it's such a blessing to have. We're thinking of getting more for others. We have been married for a little over 4 months now, and it's been a little over a year since we've met. But since then, our eyes have been opened little by little. It seems more like a lot by a lot, causing drastic change for the better in our attitudes and lifestyles. For the past 8 months or so, we have come a long way in our belief and never want to stop learning. One might, after hearing how in the King James Version was from the truth, how far it was from the truth, we felt very disheartened and didn't know where to turn. So we prayed and asked for guidance. And in a few minutes, we found COYHWH.com. And we're so amazed, overjoyed, everything in me. So we started learning and enjoying it. So we're writing to show support of everything we've been seeing and are saving to make a trip to Israel. How we wish there were no that there were zero restrictions, we'd move to Israel instantly and plant some fruit trees for a start, serve him by serving others, and live and eat by the land. We know we've only just begun to grow roots and have a long way to go, but we love everything he's teaching us through Yeshua and can't see ourselves ever turning back. The video, Who Are the 144,000, with Don's trip to Africa deeply moved us to give our hearts, longs to help in some way. We've lived in Jamaica for most of our lives, and we've seen the deterioration of Babylon's influence has caused in the third world homes. The more we journey closer to Yahweh, the more grieved we are about our environment, the world and its influences. We also read your lesson about the covenant and want to enter covenant relationship with our Mashiach Yeshua through baptism and laying on of hands. We acknowledge the responsibility involved to keep it and his children throughout obedience to commandments and accepting with our hearts his will through Yeshua. Is there anyone in Florida that is in direct correspondence with the congregation of Yahweh in Israel? We love to be baptized in the name of Yahweh and fellowship with other like-minded in purpose. Please let us know as soon as possible. May the peace of Yahweh be upon you all in Israel. So you see what I'm doing in my spare time. This is, Shalom, Brother Don. We pray this letter finds you well. We would like to share with you all the wonderful things happening in our life. In a previous letter, we told you of our plans to leave Babylon for Israel. We thought it might be a good idea to give you a bit more insight to who we are in hopes of dispelling any notions of our insanity. Please understand that we have no preconceived ideas that we will drop anything to go and stand on the Mount of Olives and wait for a Messiah to return. Our fathers calls us to leave this wicked place and serve him where the true needs exist. Yes, there are poor and homeless here, but even they live like kings compared to the third world nations. We know that life will not be roses and rainbows over there, but we are willing to live in tents as drifters if it is the will of Yahweh. However, our intent is to place our service into the needs of the people of our Father to be a blessing in his name in any possible way. We want to volunteer in any way you need us with no request too small or too great. Whether our Redeemer returns in 20 years, we want to spend every last minute in his service. We will endure to the end no matter how difficult that road may be. Truly, our awakening has changed our lives to the point that absolutely nothing else matters. We have completely cut all worldly things out of our life. We are now true keepers of the Torah, continuously learning and applying what is expected of us. It feels like Yahweh has given us new eyes that see all of the wickedness we are surrounded with. We are so deeply grieved by the obliviousness of the society in this country. No one cares about anything but themselves, and it is truly heartbreaking to see. We have not taken this decision to leave lightly. We have no idea what will happen once we get there, and we only know that we are obedient to Yahweh. He will care for us. Interesting, our wives are from Jewish ancestry, but since that family name was changed 4 generations ago, we have no records to prove their lineage. We only have the word of the family historian, as this information was kept very quietly to avoid persecution. So they were not able to make Aliyah to get home and claim their birthright. I myself spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia and Cairo, Egypt, in the Air Force during Operation Desert Storm and provide comfort. So I have an idea of the culture difference and what life will really be like on the other side of the world. It's also interesting to look back and see that Yahweh is preparing us for this moment for many years. We were originally from New York, but over the last 15 years we lived in other areas. We realize now the Father has been preparing us for the environment of the Middle East. It has been a long journey to get to the place we are at now, and nothing short of a miracle to see Yahweh has directed our paths to get here. We also know that he has led us to you. Although we are not sure of how this will all play out, we know your ministry is a part of it. We are asking that you pray in regards to our family so we may again have confirmation from the Father of our intentions and character. Please understand that we will be coming home to Israel no matter what. We are very aware of the coming destruction of this place. We are also aware of the existence of 75 concentration camps in America already built and waiting for residents. Of course, our country calls them FEMA camps, designed for safety and security. The terrifying truth about this is the same that was said about the Nazi camps. There is also an alarming stockpile of at least 1 million plastic disposable coffins in Georgia and Illinois. Why? Well, of course, we know why. We cannot stay here. We have been steadily praying and preparing for Yahweh to guide us on when to leave, as we patiently go through our refining and purification in the wilderness. The moment he calls us to leave, we will book our flights. We're praying that you will be able to help us in his wonderful name when we arrive. In Yeshua's name. The last one from another prisoner. It says, Congregation of Yahweh, peace be with you. My name is so-and-so. I'm a 35-year-old believer in Yahweh and Yeshua, his son. I am autistic and find myself behind prison walls. I'm currently an inmate at a certain correctional facility. I accepted Yeshua as Messiah in February of 1994 at age 16. On August 19th, 1994, I was baptized by water at this certain place. In 1996, I was forced to live on the streets of Cleveland at the age of 18 because of abuse from my stepdad. I left home and hoped I could make it on my own. Unfortunately, it was not as easy as I had imagined it would be. I was forced to live in abandoned cars and dumpsters. I also had to eat out of these dumpsters and garbage cans. I ate old bread, half-eaten sandwiches, and withered, rotten vegetables sometimes. I ate what I could to survive. Anything was better than what I was going through in regards to abuse at home. One day, as I walked aimlessly, I ended up in front of the assemblies where I came to believe in Yeshua the Messiah. The pastor saw and welcomed me, even though I was in a bad need of a shower and clean clothes. He still embraced me. After service, the pastor invited me to stay at his home a few days. I did, and life there was amazing. Even though it was only for 3 days, I really enjoyed myself. I got cleaned up and ate a few good meals. I spent time with his family. You could feel their love. It was the love of true believers of Yahweh. I left after 3 days because they already had little room. A female friend then asked me to stay with her, only to find out she had ulterior motives and only wanted to use me sexually. After refusing her advances, on one occasion, this woman called police and falsely accused me of assault and battery. I was arrested and taken to the jail. There, while attending chapel services, I was asked to give my testimony by the chaplain, who heard it before many inmates came to faith of salvation, and the chaplain even permitted me to conduct services under his watchful eyes. Many inmates attended the services regularly. A little time later, after being shepherded by a chaplain, I was transferred to my current institution. Brother so-and-so informed me that he was contacted by the chaplain who helped me to get my ordination credentials to preach in the ministry system. The prison system is a very harsh and violent world. I've been assaulted, sexually assaulted, and I've been robbed. I accidentally left my cell door open on my way to chow recently. When I returned, me and my cellmate's property was stolen. TVs, radios, clothes, all was gone. My cellmate believes I had everything to do with it being stolen. Now he wants to fight me. I do not steal, nor do I condone stealing. I'm not a fighter either. I refuse to fight a guy like him. He's very big and is into martial arts. I'm not crazy. I believe Yahweh will help me through this situation. I did write my mother at her last address, but the letter was returned, stamped, returned to sender. Now I'm all alone. Yahweh has a plan and will guide me. I'm sorry to get off track with all this. I just wanted to tell you a little about me. Can you please send me a Sacred Name Bible and one or two free books that you offer? I get no mail, and even a few lines will be a blessing. It gives his name here. So, when we're talking about bearing fruit, this is just a few days, a week or two, of letters that we've been getting. And as you could see, none of these people know each other. They're not connected. That the work we're doing is going all over the world. And you think when you read some of these letters of the people, what, like that one family, they live in tents, that they so much would love to be here. They'd so much want to be part of what Yahweh is doing here. And then on the other end, you know, the reality is we are here. You know, we're here, and who knows, maybe some of these people will get here, maybe not. But the fact that we're here, we're giving hope to these people. You know, that to me, one letter like that would be enough to make me want to go. Because, like I say, one life to Yahweh is as important as everything. But to get hundreds and hundreds of letters like this from all over the world of people that are being affected on what we're doing here, it is powerful. Because it's changing lives. And like I said, we're not selling anything. By having our materials free, freely available to people. It gives them the opportunity to come to the truth and to see the zeal of some of these new people and to see how they're trying to change. I just want to read in Revelation 3, or 2 rather. To the messenger of the congregation of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds all things, and the seven stars in his right hand, he walking in the midst of the seven golden menorahs. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and that you cannot bear evil ones. And you tried those pretending to be apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. And you have patience and have borne burdens on account of my name and have not wearied. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you left your first love. Then remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. And if not, I'm coming to you quickly and will remove your menorah from its place unless you repent. But you have this, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Elohim. So as we're leaving tonight, and we won't see everybody for close to a month, I really want to encourage everybody to get that first love back. To really get that first love back. Of looking at these people, many of these brand new, that are just coming to faith, and they're struggling, but they're trying. They're trying to get rid of their old way. They're trying to come to new. Many of them have no connection. They have no... Interesting enough, just from this mail, this is just less than 2 weeks' mail, the four or five people that asked for baptisms in congregations were all in the area where we have them. So praise Yahweh, because we don't have tons of congregations in Babylon anymore. But Yahweh is calling the people he knows. But I just thought it would be encouraging, because I know it's encouraging to me, but also encouraging to you, to know that when people write, you know, and they're writing to the congregation, they're writing to all of us. And like I said, all of us are a part of it, you know. And sometimes it can be a message, or it can be something that might get somebody to come. But when they come here, there isn't a one-man band. You know, I can't service people at the feast. A lot of times I'm busy and there's a lot of things I can't do. But they're meeting you and they're coming here and they're seeing your love and they're seeing the way we do things and they're seeing our doctrine and our judicial order. And Yahweh's blessing that. He's blessing it in Asia. He's blessing it in Africa. And even in Babylon, you know, he's blessing it. And I don't remember ever getting so much serious mail, I would say. We get a lot of mail always from U.S., but I mean really serious mail. And I think it's another sign of the end because, like I've said not that long ago, you know, the invitations have gone out to the wedding supper. And each person made their excuses. You know, this one's doing this. This one has to go to his field. And what did Yahweh say? Go to the highways and the byways and call all that my house may be filled. And I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing maybe the beginning of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that he says is going to happen in the end time. And while, what greater place to be during that than here? What greater place to be connected to a real work that Yahweh's doing? And by traveling to places all over the world, believe me, from Catholic Church all the way to Sacred Name groups, I very, very, very rarely ever meet even one congregation that's satisfied from where they are. We're living in the times, the Laodicean era. You know, it's ruled by the people. It's a breaking down, a breaking down, a breaking down. And to be able to have obedience with love, to be able to have judicial order and be able to share with people the things that we've gone through, to be able to have training programs and the Bible lessons, I just think it's such a blessing by Yahweh. And now, for many years of building this foundation, now he's bringing it to fruition. And the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. You know, that's the great part, that in Yahweh's congregation, there's a place for everybody. Everybody has a gift that's given, and everybody's gift can be used somewhere. And as we see, there's a great harvest there. There's people that need us. There's people that are reaching out to us. So I just pray, like I said, in the time I'm gone, that I really pray that everybody will think about relighting your first love. Think about what brought you out to Israel in the first place. Think about the things we learned at the Bible school. Think about being an ambassador for Israel, because there's a lot of work, and the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Yahweh bless.